what we'd like to speak about and just brings, and this is just some very quick encouragement, is kingdom lessons from the unusually wise. Now, why we say unusually wise is because you would never think that you could learn something from these particular things. And so normally when you see something that is unusual, you're like, there's not much I can learn. Yes, there's not much that I can learn from that. But we now have to incline our ears to actually work out what is it that I can learn from these unusual things. And so I love the practical wisdom from the scriptures. And so if we're attentive enough, we can extract great lessons for our lives. And so the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom, and wisdom is just skill. If you've lived long enough, you've learned a few things. That you've learned what to do and what not to do if you are going to be able to navigate life well. How many people recall their parents warning them of how difficult life is? Anybody can put your hand up if your parents spoke to you and said, you better work hard because if you don't, you're going to find out how difficult life is. I remember when my grandmother, this is my mother's father, Ambuya Magwenzi, would constantly tell us of the future and say, you had better do things properly. And then her words were, don't complain if somebody else is doing well if you decide to play at school. And I remember each time she would say these words, all of us would sort of like be like, oh, come on, old lady, you know, just give us a break. And because what we would say to ourselves, excuse me, we were very young then, we would tell ourselves that the future is very far away, so it doesn't really apply to me. But what we found is that the future came, and the future is now. And the funny thing is that whenever people try to instill a bit of wisdom in us, there is two lessons that we can learn. It's either the words they say to us condemn us or make us feel really bad, or they make us feel really good. They will make you feel good if you listened and acted to what those words said. But if you didn't listen, they make you feel really bad because now you're going to start living and start saying, if only I listened to what my grandmother said. Isn't that true? I wish I did that. I wish I woke up early and I studied. It's like going to writing an exam, just pitching up to the exam and hoping that you're going to pass. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen automatically. You've actually got to prepare for the exam so that when you go in, you're well prepared. I cannot say that I was a particularly good student when I was at, I would be one of those that I can count on my fingers the number of times I did homework at school. Now, I'm not saying to our young people that are still in school, don't do your homework. In fact, what I am saying is you better do your homework because perhaps I could have been a doctor. And I just ended up just a plain accountant. Now, if I had studied hard, you know, I could have been somebody important. But I ended up just being a plain old accountant. And so wisdom, remember what we said, is skill, which is applied knowledge. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 25, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Wisdom can save us. A lot of heartache, a lot of regret, and that is the power of wisdom. And so when he says, whoever puts this into practice, because remember, it's hearing is one thing, application is the other thing, is a whole other thing. And the one thing that the devil loves us to hear. He has got no problem with you hearing stuff. In fact, he loves it. We get here, we hear a word, and everybody's high-fiving, and we're dancing, and we're carrying on. He loves that. What he doesn't like is the application. Because he knows that once you start to apply, then things will change in your life. It is the application that you are going to face a lot of opposition with. We don't have a problem hearing. We have an application problem. So Proverbs chapter 30, you can look in chapter 34 of Proverbs. Are you going to find it? How come? There's only 31 chapters. So it's actually Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, there are four things on earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants, they aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. Hyraxes or conies or rock badgers, they aren't powerful, but they make their homes among the rocks. Locusts, they have no king, but they march in formation. Lizards, they're easy to catch, but they're found even in the king's palaces. The Amplified Version says, the ants are not a strong people, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The conies or the rock badgers are not a mighty folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in groups. You may grasp the lizard with your hands, yet it is in king's palaces. And one more translation, which is the Message one. There are four small creatures, wisest of the wise they are. Ants, frail as they are, get plenty of food in for the winter. Rock badgers, vulnerable as they are, manage to arrange for rock-solid homes. Locusts, leaderless insects, yet they strip the field like an army regiment. Lizards, easy enough to catch, but they sneak past vigilant palace guards. The reason why we need to pay attention to these four creatures is their wisdom is out of proportion to their size, because they overcome seemingly insurmountable limitations. And so if we observe them carefully, what we'll learn will help us do the same. Now, if you look at an ant, they're very small. You know, we can just stomp on them, very small. But you somehow see that the wisdom that we can get from the ants is that ants are industrious. They work together. You can see them. If you see them in a row, all of them are carrying something. If you drop some bread, they all come along and they cut, they dice the bread up into small pieces, and everybody carries it along. What we learn from them is that they are industrious. But the most important thing, the wisdom that we get from ants, is that they contemplate. The wisdom of contemplation, which is the wisdom to think through things. Solomon used the ant to illustrate economic wisdom when he said to his son to consider their diligence, their initiative without supervision, and their foresight to prepare and save for the future. And so he says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? And then I love this part because I always repeat this to my kids. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Hard work never killed anyone. One of the things the ants do is that they take personal responsibility for their lives. So when an ant does not know, when it comes to, when an ant doesn't know stuff, I mean, we know the ants don't think like I'm saying, but what we understand is that if I don't know something about budgeting, if I'm going to be somebody that is generous and that's going to give if I, you know, if I want to give. It's one thing to want to give. It's another if you want to give, but you can't. That is the most painful thing. I really want to help you. Sorry, I cannot. But it's also very nice to walk into a place, wherever it may be, you're at the shopping, and then somebody says, oh, I forgot my wallet. And you say, don't worry, I'll pay that for you. You come away from that with a nice feeling. But if we don't manage our resources, we are not in a position to be able to help other people. Amen? Forethought and organization. When is the sun coming up again? When is it going down? That's a question. When? 5:46. Thank you very much, Damien. And when is it coming up again? Would you wake up surprised and say, what? What is the sun doing up? Would you be surprised? Because what happens to the sun? Every day it comes up and it goes down. When does winter come? Yes, all the time. Winter comes all the time. And so this is what we have to understand, is that the ant, it says, it prepares its food in the summer. It gathers, its food in the summer in preparation for the what? Because it knows that winter is coming. We need to be the same. This is what we learn from the ant, that whether we like it or not, winter is coming. Joseph said to Pharaoh, when he interpreted the dream, that I see 7 years of plenty. We're going to be bawling out. We're going to have so much stuff, we won't know what to do with it. But he said, what I will warn is that after that period, there's going to come a time when there's not going to be enough. So what do we have to do now? We put aside in preparation for that. This is what the ants are telling us, thinking through that tough times are what? The song sometimes has got to end. We can't be having a disco all night. The time will come when it's time to go home, when the DJ stops playing the music. And this is what we need to understand, that we have to be, as people that are kingdom people, children of God, let us understand that we have to prepare for the winter. Let's understand that there will be more tomorrows than there are today's. Because we're already in today. We're going to live more. There's going to be more tomorrows that we're going to live in. So what do we have to do? We have to prepare for tomorrow, because we're going to be living in tomorrow. So what does that do for you and I as kingdom people? We start putting aside whenever we get, and irrespective of the quantum or the amount that you have, you put a little aside. You put a little aside. Some of us get savings. We need insurance to support our families. We put some life insurance in place. Now, previously, I never used to like the thought of life insurance. And the only reason I did not like it is because if I die, then my wife is going to marry another guy, and then that guy is going to be spending my money, you know? That's one of the reasons why life insurance was just like, oh, that's not a good thing. But I recognize that, you know what? It's not going to bother me. You know why? Because I'm dead. So that means that through the times of plenty, we prepare for the times of lack. If you're a young person in this place, you have to understand that what I can grasp at an early age is that if you start putting aside the little that you are given, whether it's pocket money, whether it's a job that you're working, just get into the discipline just get into the discipline of learning to put things aside. Another key thing as kingdom managers, people that have kingdom generosity, is let's be very practical. We don't want to be these hocus pocus, abracadabra, hey presto type Christians. We want to just be real practical. And what that means is we have to have wills in place. I've lived 44 years, 44 in a bit, and I have seen what happens when there are no wills left in families. Families get, relationships get destroyed, they get severed, because human beings are just human beings. What happens is that the bad in us will begin to rise to the fore. You never thought that the moment you start hearing you got a bit of inheritance, oh, all of a sudden, there's just some things, the greed begins to come out in us. And this is why the Lord said is that be very careful that greed is such a subtle thing. You don't know you're greedy until you realize that a parent or somebody has left you a few million dollars. Then the greed will start to come up to the fore. You start saying, well, you never really looked after mom and dad, so you don't deserve to get half. I need to get three quarters. These are real things that happen in real people's lives. So we have to put these things in place where we're looking after our children. The scripture says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, which means, yes, it is it's a practical thing, but it's also a legacy thing. Are we sowing the things of God into our children's lives? J. Vernon McGee said about the ant, he wrote about the Emperor Hadrian, who was a wicked ruler in the Roman Empire. And it was related that he said the following when he was dying: no more crown for this head, no more beauty for these eyes, no more music for these ears, and no more food for this stomach of mine. But my soul, oh my soul, what is to become of you? The reason I share this as we learn from the ant, wisdom prepares now for something that you cannot prepare for in the future after it has come. There's no point in saving for retirement when you've retired. It's a bit too late. The Word of God lets us know in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that after we die physically, there will be judgment. Don't worry, I'll deal with it a bit later. I'll deal with it when I'm dead. It's a bit too late. So the question for us this morning is, have we made preparation for the future by drawing near to God and running to His remedy for our souls in the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're talking, of course, about economic wisdom, but also we're talking about the more important things about our lives. Because the truth is that winter is coming. As morbid as it may sound, what I say to my children, there will come a time that it's going to happen, unfortunately. And so you need to prep yourselves in your mind. Don't fall apart when you see dad in a casket. It sounds a bit horrible to think about it, but guess what? It's the truth. Don't fall apart. Remember these things. My father loved me and he cared for me. And if I put my mind to things, I can do those things that that I can do. They encourage me to always reach out for the best. We learn from the rock badgers. These are conies, are very small, fluffy little creatures. They are very defenseless. They can't look after themselves. And so what they do is that they hide in the rocks. And that is a way of protecting themselves. What we learn from these rock badgers is the wisdom of compensation. They learn to protect themselves from things that are stronger than they are. That means that in our businesses, you know, we hire people who are good at what we are bad at. Even if you're running a company, if you're not good at a particular type of welding, guess what you do? You get somebody else who's good at that. So you're not going to bring the person who can weld the same way you can weld. You're going to bring somebody who can weld in a different manner, which is required for your business. In relationships, we want to get with somebody who complements us. Because if we all get with people that are the same as us, that makes very difficult to deal with. But what we should understand is that our weakness should drive us towards God. Like ants, these conies, these rock badgers are exceedingly wise. They find their refuge in the cleft of the rock. And so just like them, we need to always ensure that our protection is in the Lord. Psalm 118 verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." The ant teaches us to prepare our food while we may. Christ is the bread of life. The rock badgers teach us to find our refuge in the rock, and that rock is Christ. From the locusts, we learn the power of partnership and the wisdom of cooperation. By itself, one locust is powerless, but as a swarm, they can do great damage. It seems with the locusts, they have no visible head or leader, yet they go forth like soldiers in their respective regiments. They move methodically, acting as if they're acting under definite instructions and discipline. It's like somebody saying, "Guys, let's go, let's take over, let's do this and that." But us, the church, it may seem that we don't have a leader. Churches around the world, the church as an establishment, it seems it's just somehow like a bunch of locusts. But we do have a leader. And the unseen head of the church is Christ. Together, everyone achieves more. An acronym for team. For us individually, there's not much we can do. But as we gather together as C3 Kwinana, as we bring our individual gifts and talents, and just we bring ourselves, the Lord will collectively take us and begin to impact the city that we live in. And that means that everybody has got a contribution to make. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, recognize that you have a contribution that you can make that is going to move this church forward. Amen? And then lastly, from the lizards, we learn the wisdom of capitalization. Lizards, they don't build houses, they don't build palaces. But guess what they do? They take shelter in them. They take advantage of what other people have done. So they capitalize on what others have done. We are sitting here because of what other people have done. And there will come a time when we are no longer here and other people will be sitting in this place because of what you and I have been able to do and what God has been able to do through each and every one of us. And so we learn persistence. Yes, it's capitalization, but we learn persistence and they teach us about faith. The kind of faith that takes hold of the promises of God. It is a faith that enters into the very heavenly realms. It is the faith that says, "I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day," which is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. What I want us to be is a group of a community of believers that the Lord does not want us to live on Struggle Street. The Lord wants us to be people that regardless of however much resource we've been given, we are faithful with that. We learn to manage that. Because ultimately what will happen, you see, is that when the tough times come, you need to be able to cover that. And so what we want to be, what we're saying to each and every one of us is that, you know, with the difficulties, with all the things that are happening in the world at the moment, the anxiety that is being created by the news. Because each time that you read the news every day, there's an article that is saying things are going left, and they're going left really quickly. People are going to be under more stress. And so what we can do for ourselves is learn from these small creatures and begin to prepare for what is coming so that when it comes, we're in a better position. And remember that, you know, the preparation, when you prepare for winter or the tough times, that's always where it can sometimes seem as if we're always covering, we take a positive situation in preparation for a negative situation. But sometimes what preparation does for us is that when the negative situation comes, we are able to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented our way. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes 9 says, I have observed something else under the sun, and this is Solomon speaking. He says, chapter 9. I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy, and those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. If you haven't prepared, you're not able to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you. Being in the right place at the right time, for you to exploit that, you're going to have to learn to prepare. May we stand this morning, please. So we'll just have the team can come up. And whilst they're playing, Gabriela, sorry. There you go. Whilst the team is playing, can you grab that for me, please? It's one thing to desire to be generous. And not have the ability to be generous. So you can have the desire, but not the ability. And we want to be those people that listen and take heed. Because the application of what we learn, hearing is one thing, acting on the hearing is a whole different kettle of fish. Now I know that we've got young people in here, single people, everybody. We can all do a better job at preparation. And my heart's desire it says in the scriptures that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, which means I have to make the deliberate effort to put things in place so that I can look after my family and my children's children after I'm gone, because the reality of life, is that that's going to happen. It's just that simple. And so I believe that God is a God that provides. God is a God that works miracles. But also, God will not do what you and I should do. They were fed in the wilderness. They were fed with manna and with quail. And that was great. God was providing that every day. Wonderful. But there came a time when that stopped. And it was time for them to fend for themselves. And so God does what he does. And so we do what we can do. And that's where we have to be. And this is why I'm very strong. I hope that we get this where we are practical, where we look after our families. We do things where when winter comes, we're not surprised.